Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your host today, Steve, and with us in the studio again is Lois. Welcome back, Lois.
Hi, Steve. I see we're talking about dust, and every woman knows about dust.
Dust. Albert, do you know about dust?
I see it everywhere. Now, you said we have to bring our microscopes?
We do, because not only will we be talking about dust, we'll be talking about bacteria and fungi.
Whoa.
I just noticed that Albert said he sees it everywhere, but does he do anything about it?
Maybe I will after today's article.
Maybe you will. Maybe we will think differently about dust, the dust in our houses after today's article. Today is February 20th. We are glad that you've taken time out of your day to be with us, to practice your English, learn some new vocabulary words. Today we are on the third day of our Newsworthy Clips feature for this month. And earlier we talked about our brains and stress and dieting and working into retirement. And today we're going to take a little different turn and talk about the things that you can't see in your house, but they affect our lives. They affect our health. Now, Lois, how often do you clean in your house for dust?
Well, here in Taipei, I clean more often than I did when I lived back home. I think twice a week.
Yeah. It's a little different when you live in a city, isn't it?
It's a little different when you live in a city. And as many of our listeners know, Taipei is almost like it's in a basin or the bottom of a bowl. Mm. So dust really can collect in this city inside your home or like outside on your clothes or whatever.
That's right. That's right. I've certainly felt the same way and experienced that after moving here. I noticed that things get dustier quicker living in a city, especially where I live. There was a lot of construction. There was a subway going in down the street, and that affects your living space. How about you, Albert? Do you clean on a regular basis?
Well, if you were to ask me a few years ago, I would say no. I would just let it collect. But then I notice the opposite sex, namely the women, do
yes.
not like that. They don't appreciate it.
So when they come over to visit you?
To hang out, you know, yeah. when I'm like entertaining friends, groups of friends, it's kind of...
it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing. So that has prompted me to clean. I actually set it on my phone, a reminder.
You're serious?
I am serious. I also have, ever since I started working at Studio Classroom, set an alarm to go to bed.
Very good.
We have early mornings here at Studio Classroom. You know, we arrive early and we get ready to prepare to deliver great content to you.
Yes.
And you know, I think maybe a lot of people don't know in a big city, that dust, if you don't clean it up, it actually becomes oily. And
yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize that. So you really do want to take care of it.
You want to stay on top of it.
Right.
Don't let it accumulate too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, today I think is a very fun lesson. It's interesting because we're talking about things that we can't see, but we know are there. And
Santa Claus?
And it's everywhere. It's not Santa Claus. It's not the Easter Bunny, it's bacteria and fungi.
Ooh.
Now, just a quick note on this word fungi. We'll talk more about it in a little bit, but there are two pronunciations for this, right? So some people say fungi and some people say fungi.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So both are okay. I don't mind either one is good for me. So having said that, let's dig into the reading right now. We're on page 36. Let's start reading in the left-hand column.
Dust, bacteria, and fungi in your home. Even if you live by yourself, you do not live alone. In a recent analysis of dust samples collected from 1,200 homes, researchers report that most of us cohabit with a few thousand species of bacteria and about 2,000 species of fungi. most of the organisms are completely innocuous, and some may be beneficial, said Noah Ferrer, a microbial ecologist. Ferrer and his colleagues report that these microscopic communities can also reveal telling details about the people they live with. The specific composition of a home's bacteria community changes depending on whether there is a dog or cat in the household, as well as the ratio of men to women in the home. The composition of the fungi community, on the other hand, can suggest what climate and geographical region a person lives in. Volunteers were sent a sterile, cotton-tipped swab and asked to swipe it above the door trim of an interior door and an exterior door.
All right, no matter where you live, even if you live alone, you don't live alone.
Dun, dun.
Even if you don't have pets, you don't live alone, right?
Right.
I love this opening. Even if you live by yourself, you don't live alone because there are thousands of other living things among you. Yeah.
Good premise for a movie.
It is.
This summer.
Yeah. Lois, take us into this paragraph.
Well, right. You're right there, Steve, with the opening line. And then we read in a recent analysis of dust samples collected from 1,200 homes or 1,200 homes, researchers report that most of us cohabit with a few thousand species of bacteria.
Okay. Now, we talked about surveys a little bit in the first day of our newsworthy clips feature, and we said be suspicious of surveys when the numbers are really low. And I remember talking about some surveys where there's just, I've seen surveys with just 20 or 40 or 60. Those are super, super low. Anything maybe below 1,000, I would have a red light, right?
Right.
1,200 is okay. It's not like 86,000 that we saw earlier.
Right. I'd like to know if you did 1,200 homes here, did you go to 12 different neighborhoods and have, you know, what is it, 100 homes?
Yeah. Were the homes in the same region of
right.
the country?
Yeah.
Because this will all affect the results of the research.
I would like it not to be just maybe in one area of a city. That's what I'm saying.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, we don't know that, but even still, 1,200 is not too shabby. It's okay as a, what's the word I'm looking for, Albert?
A sample size.
Sample size, thank you. And since you said that, why don't you continue with us on line three? What do researchers report?
They have found that there's 2,000 species of fungi that cohabit with us, cohabitate. And just to give a reminder, cohabitate is anyone that's living with you. It could be if you're married, that person is living with you.
Cohabitating with you. Yeah, cohabit. Cohabit is the verb.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the word again, fungi or fungi. And that's a good word to know.
Right.
There are different forms. I think of slime is a kind of fungi.
Right.
Mold, mildew, things you don't want in your home.
Right. I'm thinking spores, too, that come from your mold that fly around.
Yes.
And people don't even realize that.
That's right. And some people have a very allergic reaction to this kind of stuff.
That's
so
right.
It could be very unhealthy. But these things are in our homes.
Exactly.
They're floating around. They're coming into our homes through various means. And some of them are actually healthy, we'll find out. And some of them are good for us. In fact, we eat sometimes fungi, don't we?
Mm.
Yes,
on purpose.
Do. On purpose. I'm thinking of a cheese. Is that what you're thinking?
That's one of the things.
I'm thinking of a mushroom.
Mushrooms
right?
are a kind of fungi.
Yep.
There is mold on certain cheeses that we eat. And some people love that
yes.
flavor.
Mm-hmm. Like
Isn't
blue
cheese, right?
Blue cheese, yes.
and Roquefort, one of those. It's really strong.
I'm a fan of blue cheese.
Okay.
Is that really like a mold?
Yeah, it is.
A mold? It's a mold,
It is
right?
a mold, and you know, a lot of people get blue cheese quite a bit because buffalo wings or some kind of hot wings usually are served with a blue cheese dressing, especially if you're having it somewhere in North America.
Steve, you and I?
I wish you didn't say that.
Oh, now you want wings.
I want wings right now.
I feel like Steve and I should have a blue cheese party. Blue cheese is so delicious. It's so fragrant. Okay.
So there are fungi that we eat, but there are fungi also floating around our homes. They're in the dust around our homes.
I think in the majority, fungi is usually really bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just going to give an example there when you say that, Albert.
Mm.
If you have your tiles, and you look at your tiles in your bathtub or your shower, and you're getting like little black lines in the grout that keeps the tiles together.
Mm.
Here's another use for a toothbrush. You get out an old toothbrush that you're not going to use anymore, and you clean that out. You get that fungi out of there because it is going to be a problem for your health.
Okay, yeah.
And believe it or not, you keep your old toothbrushes, and that's what you use it for, and you get some cleaner.
Yep.
Like Ajax or Comet. And
something
it
that
all
has
up.
Bleach in it, right?
Albert's amazed at all these things.
I am really amazed. I
Albert,
feel like
you don't know how to clean the mold and mildew out of your bathroom.
Now you do. Now you do. It all works. Right.
The office says most of the organisms in our home are completely innocuous. In other words, they're harmless. And some may be beneficial. Now, this guy named Noah Ferrer is a microbial ecologist, so he's an expert on these things. And he and his colleagues report that these microscopic communities can also reveal telling details about the people they live with. So I find this interesting. He is trying to learn something about the people in the homes by studying the dust in homes.
This sounds like CSI.
It does.
It sounds like almost like a fingerprint.
It does. Actually, that's a good way of describing it.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like a zoo, maybe. Or maybe like a zoo. So like, the germs and bacteria on Steve, that they grow on Steve, is going to be different from the bacteria that grow on me.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? Is your house making you sick?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's a lot of things that they've narrowed down and they can't find out what's wrong with you, they will often say, well, maybe your home's making you sick.
Yeah. Oh. There are such things as sick homes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real word. Homes that have problems with mildew and mold on the walls or the air quality. And some people are buying and have bought air filters that they keep running in their homes to get rid of these things that make them sick.
Right. Or, you know, even your workplace can. I know workplaces both here and in other countries where people never knew there was asbestos because the building was that old that had it.
Yeah.
People were getting sick.
That's right. I find it a little funny, though, that this guy is taking samples of dust from people's homes. And he can tell that there's a dog or a cat living in the home when you can just go to the home and you'll find out if
you're
there's
saying
a dog.
He is like a detective, but
he's working
least,
backwards.
Yeah, he's doing he's going all the way around.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's fun anyway.
Yeah.
At the very least, it's fun.
I like how the process he went about, which is he sent volunteers were sent a sterile cotton tip to like swipe their houses so they could send it back to the scientists.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good, fun experiment, and it's telling details to Ferrer and his colleagues about people and how they live. Well, let's get into the next paragraph. It says the specific composition of a home's bacteria community. Interesting word. Got these groups of bacteria living in neighborhoods in your home. Right. There's this community down the hall in the bathroom. And they change depending on whether there is a dog or cat or whether there's men and women in the home. So these are things that affect the composition of the bacterial communities. The composition of the fungi community, on the other hand, can suggest different climates and geographical regions that the person lives in. And that's, I think that's common sense. We know that already.
Right.
We're like, yeah, that makes sense.
And I would also think, you know, it reflects too, how does the person clean? Do they clean? What did they use to clean their place?
Yeah. I know a lot of people who have allergies to cats and dogs and dust. And it seems more today, I don't know what you think, than when I was growing up.
Right.
More and more people I'm running into have these issues with their health. I don't know why.
Yeah, it seems like I have people tell me, too, that they have, you know, my lungs really bother me. And they're not that old. And I'm thinking, well, where you're living or sleeping. I think sometimes where people are sleeping, sometimes maybe are their drapes really dusty or their blinds or how often do they change the sheets? You know, I know one thing that they said about people with keeping a nice complexion, if you change your pillowcases more often, that'll help your skin.
Yeah.
I am writing all these things down.
Do it. go back and listen to this
I know.
Later.
I'm going to clean the... Note to self, Albert, listen to this and write it.
I find it interesting in Southeast Asia, where the climate is often wet, damp, we see a lot more mold and mildew, even on the outsides of buildings.
Yes.
That's a big problem. That's one reason I think that a lot of builders use tiles on the outside is to keep the buildings looking as fresh as possible. So I know mold and mildew has a harder time adhering to tiles.
Well, that's very interesting how the climate and living situation dictates the architecture.
Yeah.
It does. Yes.
For sure.
I never thought about it that way.
And so here where we live, it is humid. Mm. It is moist.
Right.
And I think this is more of a problem with the fungus and the mold that we see here.
Right.
We don't experience necessarily in where I'm from, in my hometown in the Northeast in the United States, it's much drier. And so we don't have this problem.
Right.
And so people may feel when they come here that their health has been affected a little bit.
Right. I know my first experience with a rainforest was actually moving to the far west coast of Canada, British Columbia. And all of a sudden, I saw these people with power washers. They own power washers like people in the east part of the country own snow blowers.
Right.
So people would have these pressurized power washers that you put soap in and water in, and so their house wouldn't actually on the outside grow mold and mildew and look kind of green and black. They just power wash their houses, or else they hire somebody to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your neighborhood look very nice.
Yes. Another machine that I'm thinking of to help fight this problem is a dehumidifier. Dehumidifier. And I know we use a lot of those here in the office because we have a lot of electronic equipment that we want to keep dry. And so I know our sound engineer, he empties the dehumidifiers every so often. It takes the moisture out of the air, and we can empty those buckets in the sink.
And if you have one of those, they're great to run in the winter because it usually means that you can heat your air better and your place will feel warmer.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
so
right.
Take the dampness out and then use your space heater or whatever might be the case here in Taiwan.
Yeah. And so by cutting out the moisture in the air, fungi or fungus, they have trouble being able to grow and thrive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the volunteers in this research, they were sent cotton tip swabs and asked to swipe it above the door trim from an inside door, an interior door, and an exterior door. And we're going to find out in this next reading what they found. So please join us on line 19 for this reading.
Household dust is made up of a hodgepodge of insect parts, pollen, dead human cells, and also things that weren't once living, such as drywall powder, carpet fibers, and soil particles. Participants were also asked questions about their house. Some patterns emerged. The researchers found that most of the fungi in our homes originates outside and likely comes into our houses via soil particles or airborne spores. Therefore, people who live in the same geographical area are likely to have the same types of fungi in their homes. That is not true for bacteria, though. The team found a greater discrepancy between the communities of bacteria in and out of the home, with the interior bacteria population being significantly more diverse than the outside population. The geographic location of the house did not appear to have an influence on the bacteria community. They wrote, but the presence of pets did.
All right, friends, thanks again for joining us at Advanced. We know you are busy, and we know that you have a busy schedule, so thanks for studying English with us today. We're talking about bacteria and fungi or fungi, which is a plural word, by the way. The singular is fungus, and there is a lot of this stuff in our homes. Now, household dust is the next topic. Albert, what can we expect to find if we are dusting in our homes? What exactly is dust made up of?
Well, dust is made up of a hodgepodge of things. A hodgepodge is a mixture of different things. Say if you were to go to a yard sale or a farmer's market and you want to buy some things, and there's a hodgepodge of items. You can find like antique mirrors, crates, posters, and dust is made up of things such as like insect parts, pollen, dead human cells, and also things that was once living but isn't anymore, like drywall powder, carpet fibers. Now all of this sounds really disgusting, but it's perfectly fine. Our human bodies are more than capable of handling it.
Yeah. Maybe not so much pollen. There's a lot of people who are very allergic to pollen. Mm. Myself being one. Pollen is that dust that comes in the springtime from flowers and trees. I know that dead human cells, we're talking mostly about skin cells, right? Because our skin
regenerates. We're not talking about a dead human.
Right. Because our skin is made up of cells, and that regenerates on a regular basis. And I'm told that our mattresses and our pillows are just full of dead skin cells.
Yes.
And what likes to eat dead skin cells? Dust mites.
Right.
So there might be a lot of mites, little insects, very hard to see because they're small. They might be in your pillows and mattresses. That's why it's important to change your sheets and maybe even change your mattress.
Well, they say to throw your pillow out every year.
Is that right?
Every year.
That sounds often.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, these things are in the dust, and there's also some non-living things, what we might call inorganic material, such as carpet fibers and soil and so on. So participants were asked questions about their house as well as swabbing their threshold over the doors, and some patterns emerged. These researchers found some patterns in the results, and so line 11, Lois, what did they find?
Well, it says the researchers found that most of the fungi in our homes originates outside and likely comes into our houses via soil particles or airborne spores.
Okay, you used that word spores earlier, and that's another way to say like a seed or a reproductive part of an organism, like a plant or a flower.
Right, and it comes off.
And it comes off.
And it gets into the air.
That's right. And it flies through the air. That's why we say it's airborne. And so people who live in the same geographical area, they're likely to have the same types of fungi in their homes. Okay, duh. We know that makes sense, right?
Right.
If you're living in the same neighborhood, you're going to have the same spores floating around in the air. But that is not true for bacteria. Albert, what do we find there?
Well, the team found a greater discrepancy. A discrepancy is something, there's a difference between two things that should be the same. But they found a discrepancy between the communities of bacteria inside the house and outside of the house. You would think that it would be the same, but not so. And they found that the interior bacteria population is more diverse. There's a greater variety than the ones on the outside.
Okay, that's kind of interesting. I would have thought that the diverse population would have been from the outside sample.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not. And we go on to find the geographic location of the house did not appear to have an influence on the bacteria community inside, but the presence of pets did. And that's, of course, common sense. Pets bring in things, and they have their own little biological things living on them that we may not.
And you might have, sometimes you have a dog that needs clipped, other times you have a dog that sheds. So that makes a difference as well.
Yeah. I know in my home I have two cats, and they bring in actually mosquitoes. We let them outside on our porch sometimes, and I notice that mosquitoes like to get on the cats and bring them inside sometimes. So that's something we can see, but imagine the things that they bring in that we can't see.
Yeah, and I think the takeaway is like, oh, it's not don't go outside because you're gonna for fear of bringing bacteria in, but just remember to bring out that trusty toothbrush that Lois mentions.
Now remember, and it's an old used toothbrush.
Not the new one they use for brushing
Don't
your
use
teeth.
Your husband's toothbrush.
Yeah, oh, maybe you should. if he's making you mad, get out the toothbrush, clean from time to time, and you know just. Have a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, you don't need to be super fanatic about cleaning, but be sensible and do clean on a regular basis. And that might help your health. All right, friends, we're going to stop here. Thanks again for joining us for this month's Newsworthy Clips. We hope you had a good time with us. And until our next teaching, my name is Steve. Thanks again for joining us here at Advanced.
My name is Albert. Thank you very much.
And Lois, glad to be here once again.